Welcome. These are my evil thoughts on a Monday. It's Joe Crummy.
I woke up for some reason. I couldn't sleep.
That is the voice of Kasim Eve, who survived a sarin gas attack in Syria back in 2013, and he was interviewed over the weekend. An extraordinary piece of audio. And we're going to play it for you in just a couple of minutes, because after the Syria thing, I was fascinated with how the left was going to, or the haters, you know, on Trump were going to hate him going into Syria. First of all, it destroyed or put a big ding in that whole conspiracy theory that Trump was in bed with Vladimir Putin. We've talked about that ad nauseum on this particular podcast. We've talked all about that. It doesn't stop the hardcore lefties, though. I was joking when I came up with the conspiracy theory that Vladimir Putin told Trump to do it because the bloodhounds in Washington, D.C., the feds, were getting close to the connection. And of course, that Trump is much more useful for Vladimir Putin down the line, and so they need to throw everybody off, so this fake attack. I was joking. You know what? It, within a few hours, people were talking about it. There's no question, and even CNN is still kind of stoking the fires today, that it was just a PR stunt, or there's nothing to it. Even Jake Tapper over the weekend, I think it was yesterday, had some expert on, and they were the first people to be showing video of planes flying out of the airfield as though nothing had happened there at all. And Jake Tapper said to one of his guests, isn't that embarrassing? So, they don't want to like this. But anyway, so you had Brooke Baldwin, who I think is very good professional, but she's just like everybody else, you know, in the mainstream media. They're haters on the Trump thing, and, they're all on board on CNN on their point of view. So she gets this guy, Kasim Eid, on camera. It's a split screen. And she asks him about, okay, well, what's your take on what happened last night? And it's about 3 minutes of audio, and we're going to go through it slowly, but you can just see that it's not going well for her, because he is effusive about Trump, and it's just not cool. So let's pick up this guy talking about how all his activity on his telephone the morning that he wakes up and finds out that there had been another gas attack in Syria. So here he is on CNN, and you can see, if you could see this, that Brooke Baldwin is really having a difficult time because the camera is on her face, and that's difficult to hide.
I woke up. For some reason, I couldn't sleep. I woke up, I saw a lot of texts on my phone. I saw the news. I cried out of joy. I jumped. I thanked God. I don't know. I was overwhelmed.
All right, this guy goes on. I mean, you know, here's a guy that survived a sarin gas attack in 2013. And he's, as you can hear, he's overjoyed and he's effusive, and it means he's going to go on and on and on and on. And Brooke Baldwin's going to be looking into the camera here, thinking, how can I turn this? But let's go back to this guy.
We've been asking for protection. We've been asking for consequences.
And this is bad, because if you're a CNN person, you know, you didn't get that help with Obama with regard to what Assad was doing. You know, you had Obama fighting ISIS in the northern part of the country, but when it came down to Assad himself, Obama did nothing, even after the sarin gas attacks. And so that's not cool. And this guy is kind of bringing that to everybody's attention.
For more than 6 years. And today, for the first time, it happened. For the very first time, we see Assad held accountable just for once.
You know, what he's saying is, and I've mentioned this to you, Syria is complicated, right? You have Assad, who's running the country from Damascus, and then you've got the Russians are there. They're on Assad's side. We're not. But then you've also got ISIS, who's in the northern part of the country. You've got those guys. Plus, you have other people, rebel groups in and around Syria as well, who want to take down Assad. And Obama's position was, we're not going to do anything about Assad. We're just going to fight ISIS, or ISIL. If you're really hip, you call them ISIL. And we'll fight those guys, but we're going to leave everybody else alone. And that's what this guy is talking about. Finally, somebody is pushing back on Assad.
Held accountable for his crimes against humanity. I was overwhelmed. I felt grateful for President Trump. I felt grateful for the United States.
How long has this guy been talking on TV? It's an eternity. I mean, 10 seconds on TV is forever.
I felt grateful for each and every person who lobbied and called and kept on talking until someone actually listened.
Right. So he's saying there was a lot of talk in the previous administration about doing something, but nothing ever happened. Now, Brooke Baldwin needs to jump in here. She's got to desperately kind of change the subject. Let's see how quickly we get to that.
There are people in America, and I hear you supportive of President Trump, and so many people are, Democrats and Republicans, but there are also people over here in America who are saying, all right, so clearly President Trump is motivated by just, as we all have compassion for these just horrible images of the, you know, the, these babies who were killed.
But, you see, here's the thing. She's bringing this up, that both Democrats and Republicans are just thrilled about this. That's not really true. The left is not thrilled about it. The left is anything that makes Trump look good, you know, they hate, right? I mean, you know, come on. So she has to kind of spin it, and here's where she goes.
But at the same time, this is a man who, you know, doesn't want Syrians to come into this country with this refugee ban. I want to just play some sound. Hillary Clinton weighed in.
Yes. Like this guy's some correspondent. Let me play some sound just to remind you, you know, what sainted Hillary has said. Right, I mean, the thing on the left, and I've been seeing this because I monitor left-wing websites, and that's cool. I mean, you have every right to say whatever the hell you want, but is that it's a stunt, and CNN's still doing that today. It's fake, and that he is a hypocrite because he doesn't allow Syrians into the United States, the babies, and he claims he cares about them by you know, sending the missiles in, but he won't allow the babies in. I mean, that meme has been all over Twitter now for 3 days anyway. Now, here is Hillary Clinton making, oddly enough, that point.
We cannot in one breath speak of protecting Syrian babies and in the next close America's doors to them.
And yeah, that's right, you're a hypocrite. Well, listen to what the Syrian guy says.
Quickly, Qasem, how do you see that?
With all due respect, I didn't see each and every person who was demonstrating after the travel ban. I didn't see you 3 days ago when people were gassed to death, when civilians were gassed to death. I didn't see you in 2013 when 1,400 people were gassed to death.
Oh, man.
I didn't see you raising your voice against President Obama's inaction.
Right now he's calling out the left for being a bunch of hypocrites. At Brooke Baldwin is thinking, oh my God, who gave me this guy? Get him out of my monitor and out of my headset. Jesus.
In Syria, that let us refugees, that made us refugees get kicked out of Syria. If you really care about refugees, if you really care about helping us, please help us stay in our country.
Now, let me stop the audio right here. Do you realize this guy's been speaking for almost 2 minutes? I mean, I've been jamming for, you know, starting and stopping this audio, but there is another minute to go. And if you can see Brooke Baldwin, who I think is a very attractive anchor, she's up there on the screen, and she's got the camera right on her face. I mean, she looks like she's sucking a lemon.
We don't want to come to the United States. We want to stay in our country.
All right, now she tried to shut him there, you know. Okay, so now we got 56 seconds to go. I think she tries to shut him down 3 more times.
We want to stay in our country. With all due respect, this is hypocrisy. If you really care, help us stay in our country. We don't want to become refugees. We want to stay in our country. Help us establish safe zones. Help us.
There she is again. Okay, now shut up. God, and he's got 40 seconds to go. Oh, my God.
Stay safe in our country.
And if you. Okay, there's the third time. Okay, understand. No, you don't. You don't want to hear any of this. Give me a break.
Just give me few seconds. Just
right now he's pushing back. Don't shut me off. Yeah, he's going, please help us.
You tell President Trump once again, please, sir, what you did was amazing. What you did was a powerful message of hope for a lot of people inside and outside of Syria.
You know how intense this is? Here's a guy speaking directly to Trump. Isn't that intense? I mean, he speak, please, sir. And it's some guy on the ground in Syria. And Brooke Baldwin's more concerned about getting him off the air. He has 23 more seconds. Let's listen.
please don't stop on this. Please help Syrians stay in their country. Please establish safe zones. Please take out Assad air forces so they won't be able to commit more atrocities using traditional weapons. 500,000 people were killed.
Is that the fourth time? All right, now he's, you heard her try to stop him there. Now he's talking about the casualties. He says 500,000 people have been killed already.
With traditional weapons, just so people can know what we have suffered in the past 6 years.
That's it. Okay, then. Brooke Baldwin is like, oh, my God, get this guy off, you know. I mean, because he didn't help advance the CNN agenda or mainstream media agenda at all. He was poison. Isn't that incredible? The numbers that Kasim Eid mentioned, as far as I know, are right. He's talking about 500,000 people killed over the last 6 years in Syria with conventional weapons. I would add to that, the total population of Syria was about 22 million people. My understanding is that 6 million people in Syria have been displaced because of the fighting, and another 5 million people in Syria are refugees and have split, and they have ended up in elsewhere in Europe or wherever it is, and that's also fueling a lot of unrest, because you're getting all these people being pushed into Germany, into the EU, so to speak, even into England and you know, the UK and all of that, and it's kind of started that whole Brexit backlash. So you have all of this disruption going on, and this guy is saying, if you give three hoots, you know, about us, don't be farming us all around the globe. Help us here. If you think about it, if there's 22 million people in Syria, and then you're talking about five, and you're talking about six, and 500,000 after that, you're talking about over half the population has been directly impacted by what's going on in Syria. I mean, that's just a lot. And yet you get CNN today talking about how, you know, it's embarrassing what we did because it was so ineffective and how lame that was. It's just interesting to me to see how the left is going to spin that. Of course, it's an open question, though. You know, well, okay, you take out Assad, you know, then what? You know, who do you fill that void with? But that's sort of our own problem. I mean, we started a lot of these problems in the Mideast by getting out early. We jump into Iraq, and then we split. And then once again, I hate to say, but that's on Obama again. Right? He said, I'm getting out. We got out, and you know, now we're stuck with this. So if you're going to take out some guy like Assad, what do you have in place? But, you know, there's always a political component to everything. You know, just on the O'Reilly takedown, which I'm sure you're aware of at this point, too. You know, what I think is funny about it is the left is talking about O'Reilly. Evil and bad. Look what he does to women and all this kind of stuff. And yet they don't say that there's a political component to that. That they hate O'Reilly because he, you know, he likes Trump and Trump likes him. And that was the whole point of Alec Baldwin's, one of his pieces on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, that Trump and O'Reilly are interchangeable. And if they can take down O'Reilly because he was evil to women, it has, you know, nothing to do with the politics behind it. You know, you could say that both sides are sort of hypocritical, because when the left had Bill Clinton, who was easily playing fast and loose with women, they stood behind him. They had no problem doing that. Now, granted, that was 20 years ago, but trust me, they'd still do it. And then, of course, you got evil Trump with that Billy Bush tape. The left really skewers him on that. You know, that's the one where he's talking about grabbing ladies by the thang. You know, I can't defend that, but I would say that it sounded to me like Trump was doing shtick, like he was on Howard Stern, you know, bragging like, yeah, I'm a big star, I'm a big shot, you know, I'm rich and I'm famous and I can do what I want. I grab this thing and her thing, I grab these things, you know, like he would on Howard Stern. But be that as it may, whatever. Hey, the dumbest PR move of the day goes to United Airlines. You hear about this? There was a flight last night, Sunday night, from, I think it was Chicago to Louisville, and they had overbooked the flight. In other words, if they got 200 seats, they sell 205 or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but they have every right to do that under the law. And you've been on a plane before, where before you take off, some flight attendant stands up and says, we're overbooked. Does anybody want to get paid to get off the plane? And I always go, forget it. I just went through security. I'm not doing it. Well, they have the right to throw people off. Nobody wanted to get off this plane. Let me play you the audio as they're pulling this guy off. They said a computer will determine who's going to get off the plane. And it was a doctor, apparently, didn't want to get off. Here's the audio.
Guys, this is not right. Can't the pilots drive to Louisville? Can't they rent a car for the pilots and have them drive?
Ah! Ah! They're dragging this guy out.
Come on, Doc.
Down the aisle.
Oh, my God. No. My God. What are you doing?
And you dragged him right out of his seat.
No, this is wrong. Oh, my God. Look at what you did to him. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. They have every right to do it under the agreements. But is that stupid? You know, they could have just, for $1,000, $2,000, they could have just upped the ante. Who wants to get off the plane for $1,000? Do I hear $2,000? They have every right. You know what? I hate to say it, but I remember when flying was supposed to be glamorous. I mean, this goes back a few years. You know what? I think they made the mistake when they named that airplane the Airbus. I think that's when everything started to change. I don't want to be in an Airbus, all right? I want to be that spaceship. So United Airlines looking like a bunch of idiots. Hey, I want you to rate this podcast on iTunes. Would you do that for me? Rate this podcast on iTunes. I want you to subscribe to this podcast. Follow me on Facebook. Now, I'm pretty active on Facebook. Also on Twitter. And I'm on Instagram as Crummy Joe. And those are my evil thoughts for Monday, the 10th of April, 2017. Turn up the music.